John chapter 10, we are dealing, this is our thought for the year, closer to Him and more like Him. Closer to Him and more like Him. You know, the Bible says in the Old Testament, there's none like unto Him. He's in a category all by Himself. No way you could compare anything or anybody to Him. And you and I will never be exactly like Him. But I do remind you, the book of 1 Corinthians says that every thought can be brought into the captivity of Christ. I was reading again this week where Paul writes to that church at Corinth, and he said, those who he had led to Christ, and he said this, he said, I travail once again for you in prayer to Christ be formed in you. And so when you get saved by the grace of God, you're a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. And as you get saved, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes into you. He'll guide you into all truth. He'll help you to grow. And you become more like the Master. You become more like the Savior. Now, you will not be perfect. Not one of us will be perfect until we stand before Him one day without spot or without wrinkle. And at that time, He'll get all the praise and honor and glory for what He's done in us through His precious blood and through the work of the Holy Spirit. But we can become more like Him, being more and more like Him every day. Now, with that said, I dealt with the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God some. And today, God burdened me with this thought. I want us to come to John chapter 10 and think about our Lord for some time this morning and about His relationship to us. Notice in John chapter 10, verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life and that it might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Will you bow with me for prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, I am so very thankful, Lord, for the wonderful truths of the Word of God. And our Father, we would not know You, we would not know the Son or the Holy Ghost apart from the truth of this precious book and the work of the Holy Spirit of God to lead us into all truth. And Father, I ask now this morning that God the Holy Spirit would fill me. I pray, God, You'd speak through me. Please remove far from me anything that would hinder the work of the Holy Spirit of God in His work of speaking to the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls here in the building and in the media audience. And I pray this morning that not one person in the sound of my voice would die and go to hell. I pray, our Father, that God the Holy Ghost would convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. I pray, our Father, they'd see the wonderful work of the shepherd. And our Father, they'd trust Him as Savior and Lord. I pray, God, this morning that God's people can be helped and encouraged. And God, I pray You'd speak to heart. God, remove far from me far from my mind and heart anything that would hinder. And God, I pray you to fill me afresh with the Holy Spirit, and I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you may remember that I have in days gone by dealt with the 23rd Psalm and with John 10 in connection. There's a real close connection. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. And here in John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd. And so there's a parallel between that Old Testament passage and this New Testament passage. There's no relationship in our Western society that can come close to being equal to that of the shepherd and sheep. In the days of our Lord Jesus Christ, they were constant companions. The shepherd lived with those sheep. He said, I'm the door of the sheep. In the evening when he would bring them in from where they'd been grazing in a pasture land, most of the time they were out in a desert area or they'd come back to a central location and they'd have a fold. They'd have an area made of security for the sheep during the night in case there were wolves or whatever to come. And in the front of that, when they had a little opening where they'd go in, maybe a rock compound or whatever they'd made it out of, when the shepherd was finished and he had them safely and secure, he'd lay down in at the opening of that thing. He said, I am the door. He's the one, he's the entrance in, but he's also the protection from the enemy from without. He is the door. He protected them in that way. And so there's a wonderful picture here of our Lord as the shepherd. This morning, I want to just point out five things real quickly as we think about the Lord Jesus Christ as the good shepherd in this passage of Scripture. I want you to notice, first of all, the person of the shepherd. The shepherd, please understand, he's talking about himself. He said, I am the shepherd. Now, in that Greek, that's a definite article. But the intensity of that word, the, is of special significance here. It means I am the one and only. He said, there's none other like me. There may be shepherds in Israel, many of them. Some of them were young boys. Some of them were even women. But he said, there's none like me. I am the good shepherd. I'm the only one of my kind. He's the only one. Jesus said in another passage of Scripture, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The Lord Jesus Christ is unique in his person. There's none like him. We can't compare him to anybody else. He is the Son of God incarnate in human flesh. He did not become God when he took on a human body. He is the eternal Son of God. This shepherd is the eternal shepherd. He's always been. He's always been God. He's co-equal and co-eternal with God. The person of this shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, if you want to have a teacher, you'd want the best. If you want to have a physician, you'd want the very best. If you want to have a shepherd, you'd want the very best. There's none like him. There's never been a better shepherd. There's never been a better Savior. There never will be another Savior like him. He's the only way to heaven. He's the only shepherd. But notice what he says, and by way of his character. He said, all that came before me were thieves and robbers. Number one, he's not a thief. He's not a robber. And he's not a hireling. He's not a thief. He did not come to take, he came to give. He said, I did not come to be ministered unto, but I came to minister and to give my life a ransom. The Lord Jesus Christ is not interested in anything out of you. He came to do something for you. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the Bible said that God who gave his own Son, shall he not also freely by him give us all things? He's not a thief. You say, Brother Bill, I'd get saved, but I don't want to have to give up all this and all of that. He didn't come to just to take anything away from you. He wants to give you far better than you've ever had. He's here to bless you and meet every need of your heart and life. He'll give you peace that you've never had. He'll give you power that you've never had. He'll give you forgiveness and pardon that you could never experience any other way. It's through him. He's not a robber. He's not a robber. Now, you say, what's the difference between a thief and a robber? Well, a thief could steal without personal injury, but a robber is it most of the time, it uses some means of weapon. You know, if a thief can slip in here tonight and steal something, but if you're on the street and somebody robs you, they've either got a knife, we've had one of our men had that experience not long ago, or a gun. They take it by force from you personally. He said, I didn't come to take anything away from you by force. He said, whosoever will, let him come. Or could he make you do anything? He could make you do anything he wanted to. He could cause every knee to bow, every tongue confess, and he will one of these days. But right now, it's the Holy Ghost of God that woos you and deals with you. And he wants you to yield to him. He wants you to surrender to him. He wants you to give your life to him. He's not a robber, not a robber. By the way, just in passing, the book of Malachi, it talks about us. And he said, you've robbed me. Robbed me. And he said, where have we robbed him? He said, you robbed me from tithes and offerings. God considers if you're not faithful in your giving, if you're not faithful in your tithing, he's given us all those things, that you're robbing him. That's more intense than even a thief. He said, you have insulted me. You have physically taken from me something belonged to me. You're a robber if you don't tithe or give faithfully to the Lord. He's not a thief and he's not a robber, but he's not a hireling. A hireling, he said in this passage of scripture, and I'll deal with that in a moment. A hireling is somebody who has a job that he's been secured. Somebody has offered him money to take care of the sheep for temporary interim time. And all he's interested in is the money. He's not interested in the sheep. When I came to this church 21 years ago now, I met with a group of men that I considered at that time and still do to be the most spiritual group of people I've ever been talked to or interviewed with about a church ministry. I sensed the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost of God on those men. And I sensed this, they had a love for this church and for this people, and they wanted God to send somebody here who shared that burden. And as we talked about all the types of ministry and about my background and so on, and then it came down and somebody said, now let's discuss the money issue. And they'll tell you, I said this, money is not an issue. Doesn't make any difference. Money's not an issue. If it's God's will, got to take care of me. I believe that with all my heart. And I'm going to tell you, one of these days, I'll die. I reckon I might not. I might get raptured. Y'all might get raptured together. But one of these days, you'll need another pastor if we all live long enough. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't choose a pastor by offering him a certain amount of money and he agreeing to that amount of money. It has to be somebody that has a heart for the Lord and a love for God's people. Jesus Christ said this. He said, I am not interested in monetary gain. I'm interested in you. He said, the hireling fleeth when danger comes because he's only interested in the money. But he said, I'm not like that. Matter of fact, he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In the darkest hour you've ever faced, Jesus was there with you. In the fiery furnace, he was right in the middle of that fiery furnace. In the lion's den, he was in the lion's den with Daniel. My dear friend, whatever you go through, he's with you. I notice here the person of this shepherd. He is God himself. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's not a thief. He's not a robber. He's not a hireling. There's one reason he does for what he does. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoso believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Jesus made this statement. He says, I have loved them as thou hast loved me. Jesus loved us as much as God the Father loved him. And that's why he's our shepherd. Thank God for a shepherd like that. And he does what he does because of love. If we're going to be like him, we have to have those qualities. We have a new nature. We have the nature of God inside of us. It has to be demonstrated in love. And whether you teach a Sunday school class or sing in the choir, you don't do it for any personal glory. You don't do it to be recognized of people. You don't do it for the financial gain. Brother Brad leads the singing here. Can I tell you something? There are churches that would pay Brad twice what I make as pastor just to lead their singing. Brother Tim, our assistant pastor, and Wendy, they do all the drama ministry and for years did all the Awana by themselves and led the Awana program and all those things. And when I talked about Brother Tim coming, I said, we want to do the very best we can, but money's not going to be an issue with Tim. And we're not going to have him to punch a clock, say, well, I'll do this many hours. I said, what we'll have to worry about, Brother Tim, is him working too much because he has a heart for people and has a heart for doing the work of God and a ministry. And my dear friend, if you're going to serve the Lord, that's where you got to be. It's not for any other reason other than the fact you love the Lord and you love them. You do what you do because of the Holy Spirit of God. That's the character of our Lord. He does it out of love, and people sense that. You work with children. You work with children. They've got to experience the love of Christ in you. They've got to feel God's love. Can I tell you something? You can fool an old person like me. And you can fool some of the young people and some of the middle-aged people, but you cannot fool children or dogs. They know you. They can read you like a book. They know when you're happy. They know when you're sad. They know when you're real. They know when you're fake. They know if you love them or you don't love them. And I have never in all these years of being saved or being a pastor sensed anything from the Lord Jesus Christ but His love. Even when I failed Him so miserably, He extended love. He chastens in love. He blesses in love. But you can feel that love in every bit of it. And everything you do, you've got to be geared that way. The person of this shepherd is deity and devotion and His love for us. Now notice something else. I want you to notice the pursuit of this shepherd. He said in this passage of Scripture in regard to His sheep, He said, "My sheep hear My voice and they follow Me." In the book of Luke, if you want to write this down, we won't turn to it, but in Luke chapter 15, verse number 4, the Lord gives another parable. It's in that passage about the prodigal son, but the first one is about the shepherd and the sheep. He said, "How many of you having 100 sheep, if you lose one sheep, would not leave the 99 safely in the fold and go after that one lost sheep until you find it?" Boy, that word "until" is a blessing. That is the pursuit of the shepherd. He's driven to reach and find that one lost sheep. Can I say something to you? This is a pretty good crowd here this morning. I thank the Lord for it. I thank God for it. And I try to meet people and, you know, but we've had so much sickness and everything. There are people who are here faithfully, and then sometimes they may miss two or three Sundays. I hate to say it, but sometimes I don't even realize they're not here. I don't get to see everybody. I don't get to speak to everybody. But can I tell you one thing? That the Lord Jesus Christ knows you individually. From the youngest little child to the oldest adult, He knows you individually. You are that one lost sheep that He loved. I've heard people say, and I've said it myself, if you'd been the only lost person in the world, He'd still come. He would have still died on the cross. He'd still given His life to redeem that one lost sheep. And He said, you're special to Him. He knows everything about you. You say, "Well, Brother Billy, I'm so imperfect." And I know He knew Billy Graham, and I know He knows others, and I'm glad that He loved the whole world. But could He love me? Oh, Brother Avery Rogers, such a blessing to my heart. Brother Avery did an intense study of the shepherd and the sheep, and he shared so many wonderful truths with me. But one thing really got a hold of my heart one day. He's talking about the shepherd. He said most times the shepherds had only about 100 sheep. They really couldn't take care of more than 100 sheep. But he said they had about 100 sheep. And he said, but you know what? Every one of them had a name. Every one of his sheep. The Bible said He knows His sheep and He calls them by name. Did you know God knows your name? Matter of fact, He knows a name you don't know you've got. My name is William Clay Cashwell. People call me Billy. I've told the story before that I hated to go to school. I really did. I loved climbing trees and eating green apples, going fishing and everything else. And I didn't get to go to school until I was 7 years old. And I didn't want to go then. But I started school when I was 7. And Mama drugged me to the school, my first day of school. And the teacher was very pleasant, very nice. And she said, "What is your name?" And I said, "My name is William Clay Cashwell." And she said, "What do your friends call you?" And I said, "My friends call me Billy." She said, "What do you want me to call you?" I said, "You call me William Clay Cashwell." you're not my friend. You messed up my summer. Regina's daddy's name was Jesse Lee Vivrit. I remember like yesterday, Regina was in the hospital. We had been dating and she was in the hospital and Kit was there. He was the first man individually outside of a preacher who led me to the Lord that ever really talked to me about my own personal salvation. But I remember we were in the room with her and we walked down the hall and he was telling about what God did for him. He used to drink real bad and God saved him. And his name was Jesse Lee Vivrit. But he said he always tells people, said, just call me Kit. That was his nickname, Kit. He said, just call me Kit because that's what Jesus calls me. Jesus is his personal friend, and he called him by his nickname, Kit. Can I tell you, he knows you individually. He knows everything about you. And Brother Avery said this about sheep and about the shepherd. He said, Brother Billy, you know how he could recognize all the sheep? You look at them, you know, there's a bunch of white sheep out there, and they all look the same. And make certain breeds, you know, they have, you know, dark black hair, or black head and white, and all, but they all look almost just alike. How could you tell them? He said he always knew which sheep was which, and he had a name for each one of them because of certain imperfection in them. He said this one might have a little tear in his ear, or this one might have a little spot somewhere. And he said he knew them, and he recognized them because of their wounds and because of that spot and because of the imperfection. And that did not demean them in his sight, it endeared them to his sight. Oh, listen, every problem you've ever had, every brokenness you've ever had, that doesn't make him think less of you. It makes him think more of you. He knows your heart. He knows your need. He knows your brokenness. He knows your scars. And that's how he recognizes you. He knows you, everything about you. Oh, listen, and the pursuit of the shepherd, he seeks that sheep until he found it. Now, the old-time Puritans are very strong in the doctrine of grace. That is, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And they believe that God, the Holy Spirit, saves, and no man can come to the Father. I believe that too. But they believe that God saved people, and it was a work of God's grace. And they interviewed this young man one time, and he said, it's not of works, lest any man should work. And when they were interviewing him before they let him be a member of the church, they said, now tell us about your salvation. He said, well, it was simple. He said, I did my part and God did his part. They didn't like that. They didn't believe man had a part. They believe that all man's works are filthy rags and there's no good thing in us. And they said, what do you mean you did your part, God did your part? He said, I did the running, he did the catching. That's exactly what we did. We ran from him and ran from him and ran from him over the prayers of our mother, over the prayers of our grandmother, over the preaching of preachers, over everything else, trampling underfoot the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was time when the good shepherd found us. He came to where we were and he broke our will and he brought us to a place where we were willing to bow before him. And aren't you glad? Aren't you glad he didn't give up on you? Aren't you glad he kept on seeking you? Brother Donnie Tippett, who did that last night, got saved over in the old building. And Brother Donnie said, people in my town still don't believe what's happened to me, the way I used to live. But you know what? Donnie ran for years and years and years, but the Lord found him. Aren't you glad he didn't give up on you? I'm glad he'll seek that sheep until he finds him. Thank God for that. My dear friend, the pursuit of the shepherd, but let me hasten on. Notice the purpose of that shepherd. Notice in verse number 9 in this passage of scripture, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Oh, listen, his purpose is one, and that is this, to save you and give you everlasting life. He didn't come to take anything from you, he came to give you everything. He wanted to take away your sin, take away your guilt, and give you everlasting life. He wants you to live forever. There are so many pictures in the Bible that are just so vivid in my mind and heart. I mentioned on Wednesday night again the awesome passage of Scripture. I can see in my mind's eye Job. And Job, there's not a more noble, more righteous man on the face of the earth than Job. I mean, he was God's man, walking with God. And all of a sudden, one day, he lost all of his livestock. All of his children got killed in one day. He lost his health. He lost everything he had. And he was sitting on an ash heap. And he just had sores from the top of his head, sore feet, and he'd not done one thing wrong. You know, you'd have to have a big question mark, wouldn't you? Why is all this happening to me? And yet I see in my mind's eye, I see this man of God and his wife is broken. And don't throw rocks at his wife. Those are her children that died. She's lost her livelihood, and she's watching her husband just fade away to nothing. And she said, Joe, why don't you just curse God and die? And he said, you talk like one of the foolish women. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Boy, that blows my mind. I can't imagine that. Can't imagine that scene. But here's another scene that I see. I see the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on a cross. I see him with his beard pulled from his face, and it's vivid in through the eyes of Peter. You can see it really with your natural eye, but even at that, I don't believe it's so severe. When he stands up here and you see the blood and the crown on his head, you see that. I see that. But the one in the crucifixion scene, the thing that just gets a hold of my heart more than anything, this crowd out here are mocking him, jeering him, making fun of him. They spit in his face. They beat him with a rod. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They buffeted him with their fists. They pulled his beard. And what he says when it comes out of his mouth, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." That tells you what kind of shepherd you got. Tells you what, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. His purpose was to give you everlasting life and to save to the uttermost all that call upon him. He's able to save anybody who'll come to him. Quickly, notice his protection. He said, "The thief cometh but to steal, to kill, and destroy." He said, "I've come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly." And he said, "The hireling..." He said, "He that's an hireling and not the shepherd, who's on the sheep or not, seeth the wolf cometh and leaveth and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he careth not for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and I'm known of mine." That's the protection of the sheep. Oh, is the devil going to come after you when you get saved? I promise you he will. You say, "Brother Billy, is it easy to live the Christian life?" No, it's impossible to live the Christian life. I can't do it. You can't do it either. But he said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." And that shepherd, I was preaching out in Wyoming, and I was talking about the sheep that get cast down. David said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" A cast sheep is one who has got away from the shepherd. He's got all kind of briars and brambles in his wool. He's got it matted with mud, and in that wool that's supposed to insulate him, now it becomes like a heavy coat, and he's dehydrated, and it's holding in the heat instead of insulating him. And what's happening is he's dehydrated, and he finds a cool spot, and he tries to lay down, and he gets down there, but then he can't get back up. All he could do is paw the ground. He can't lift himself up. He's too weak, and his coat's too heavy, matted with all the things of the world. And all he can do is bleat, and he's cast. He's cast down. "Wow, they're cast down, oh my soul." That sheep's cast. He can't get up anymore. And I was preaching about that in Wyoming, and about how the good shepherd goes out and seeks that sheep. "And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," the only way you can get saved is to call. That sheep's down, he can't get up. The only thing he can do is call, but he can call, and he's bleeding. The shepherd's out in the middle of the night, left the 99. He's looking for that sheep, and he's calling his sheep by name. And he's calling Billy, and he's calling Susie, and he's calling so-and-so, and he's calling their name. And they can't get up. They can't save themselves. They can't change their life. They can't overcome their addiction. They can't do anything. But they can call, and they can answer and say, "Here I am. Lord Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me," is what the blind man said. Just call on his name. And when you do, my dear friend, business will pick up. He'll save you. He'll save you, my friend. And when I was preaching, this guy came to me after the service, and he said, "Preacher, I know what you're talking about." He said, and I hate to even tell you this, he said, "I work in a feedlot. I knew they had them for cows and hogs and all. I didn't know they had them for sheep. 7,000 sheep." And he said, they raise them just like they do cows in a feedlot, and then they're butchered and sold for lamb. And a lot of them, he said, go up in the upstate from Wyoming, even up into the northern part of our nation. But at any rate, he said, when they are in those feedlots, he said, "There's so many," he said, "a sheep will get down. If you don't get to him pretty quick, he'll die." And he said, "When you get that sheep up, he's dehydrated, or he's just give out." And he said, "When you get him up," he said, "you can't turn around and walk off and leave him." He said, "You get him up," and he said, we clean him up. We try to get him cleaned up. But he said, "We don't walk off and leave him." And he said, "They're staggering." He said, "I'll hold them." He said, "They'll go this way and I'll hold him up. And they'll go this way and I'll hold him up." And boy, I got blessed to death. When God saved me, he forgave all of my sin. But he didn't just leave me to do it on my own. Because I stagger. I got to go this way and I go this way. But he's there to get us right. He don't ever leave you, forsake you. Oh, listen, the protection of the shepherd. He protects you from straying. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Listen, goodness and mercy, that's God's sheepdogs. Goodness and mercy. Thank God. And goodness on this side, mercy on this side, or mercy on this side. And it's grace of God, and he's protecting us, watching over us. Yea, thou walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. His personal protection. He's with you. He's there to help you. But would you note his power this morning? I'm through. Look at verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. He said, no man taketh it from me, but I have power. But I lay down my life of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. It's sad to say that you can take your own life. I pray if you're in the sound of my voice and the devil's filling your mind with that, the devil came to steal and to kill. God doesn't lead anybody to kill themselves. And that's not the answer. God's got a better answer. He's come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But you can take your life, but you can't restore your life. When you read this passage of Scripture, it is so full of meaning. The Lord Jesus Christ said, no man takes my life from me. They had legions of Romans who bound him and beat him and drove nails in his hands and nailed in his feet. Well, they couldn't do that if he didn't want them to. He could have called 10,000 angels. And he wouldn't even need the angels, just to be honest with you. He could have stepped up off that cross and just incinerated that whole crowd if he wanted to. No, he said, no man takes my life. He said, I lay it down. Now, that phrase is a Greek phrase, but it's used in the Old Testament. You know where you find it at? In the book of Genesis chapter 22, Abraham took his only son up on top of Mount, and they made an altar, and the Bible said, and he laid his son on that altar. And when Jesus said, I lay down my life, it didn't mean like just laying down a blanket or laying down something. It means he said, I lay myself on the altar of sacrifice for sin. I lay down my life as a sacrifice. And he said, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. It was impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Yet the Bible said the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Thank God for that. He has power to cleanse you from every sin. There's power, wonder-working power. In the blood, there's power. Power to save you from your sin. He has power over all the elements. Remember when they were on the ship and the sea was tossed and the disciples came down and said, Master, carest not that we perish? And the Bible said he walked out on that deck and it said, peace be still. And the ocean became like glass. That gives me cold chills. I wish I could have been there. Just like glass. Power over all the elements. He had power over all disease. He healed all manner of diseases. And that word all means every possible disease in the human race he could heal. Just like that. He had power over death. He called Lazarus out of that grave. That young boy, that widow woman, her only son, resurrected him. But God the Father resurrected him. And he has the keys of life and death. Therefore, those who know the Lord, he said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. If you live and believe in him, he said, you'll never die. Oh, my heart will quit beating one of these days. One day, like Brother Billy Graham, I may be laid out in a casket. But can I tell you, everything you heard on the news now, that it was that Reverend Graham is dead at age 99. That's fake news. That was fake news. It's just like I heard somebody else. It's fake news. Because the Bible says, and Billy Graham held that book in his hand for all those years, and he didn't say Billy Graham said, he said, the Word of God says he'll give you everlasting life. And he said, Jesus said, if you live and believe me, you'll never die. So there in Montreat, North Carolina, what happened the other morning is Brother Billy Graham, I don't know if he was asleep, I don't know if he was praying, I don't know what kind of physical condition he's in, but I do know this, he did not die. Just as surely as he would get up and walk out of that house at Montreat and maybe ride down into Black Mountain when he was younger, on that day he didn't walk through the door, didn't climb out a window, but he took a heavenly flight. He left that place, left his home there, and went to his home there in heaven. Now, I esteem him very highly, and you do, and rightly so. If you've ever been to his place, we went down with the senior citizens, and I saw it again. I've been to the one at Montreat, but when you look at the crowds he preached to and the astounding number of people that came to hear him preach, that's a miracle. Human orchestration can't do that. You couldn't plan a political rally and have that many people show up. You could orchestrate with all the public officials and everything else. And he preached in Madison Square Garden back in the 50s, and it overflew. The whole place just overflew, flown, whatever, filled up. And you know what they did? They brought his pulpit out there right in that Times Square where that V's at. They put his pulpit there. Go look at it. And there are people as far as you can see down those streets. It looks like when the ball's fixing to drop or whatever in Times Square. It shut down New York for the preaching of the gospel. There ain't no way you could do that. You couldn't orchestrate that. Holy Ghost of God did that. But you know what? We down here, when he got to heaven, I don't know what happened when everybody else saw him, but I know how Jesus saw him. He saw him as one lost lamb that was saved, and he gave him everlasting life. He's the one Jesus died for. And so far as Jesus is concerned, and all the host of heaven, and you down here, he sees every one of us the same. He said, I lay down my life for my sheep. You're one of them. He loved you as much as he loved Billy Graham. He paid the sin debt for Billy Graham's sins like he did yours. And my dear friend, you get to go to heaven because of what Jesus did for you. His power to change you and make you a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Will you bow your heads in prayer with every head bowed, every eye closed this morning? God can do for you what nobody else can do for you. He can save you and give you everlasting life. The Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, more like the master I would ever be, more of his meekness, more humility, more zeal to labor. The Lord Jesus Christ went about all of their cities and villages, teaching and preaching and healing. He was not willing that any should perish. Another scene in the Bible that is so vivid in my imagination is when he stood over top of the city of Jerusalem, not on Mount Calvary, but on another mountain. And he looked across that valley, and for the second time recorded in the scriptures, it said Jesus wept. Why was he weeping on that mountain that day? The Bible said, he said this, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets, how oft would I gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not come to me that you might have life. He wept because they would not respond. He wept because they would not come. He wept because they would not be saved. He wants to save you today. He died that you might have everlasting life. He invites you to trust him in the radio audience, in the media audience, and in this auditorium. The Holy Ghost of God speaks to your heart. Would you come this morning and be saved, have your lives changed forever and forever and forever? Will you call on him right now? If you will, right where you are, why don't you just call on him right now? The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you can be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you call on him right now with all of your heart and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I believe that you died to save me, and I hear you, and I know the Holy Ghost of God is speaking to me. As the good shepherd, you've sought me today, and you spoke to me, and you're drawing me today, and I respond in faith, and I receive Jesus Christ right now as my Savior. Lord, I can't save myself, but God, I know you can. I accept what you did for me on Calvary. I believe that you died and were buried and rose again. Come in my heart, forgive me, save me right now. Give me everlasting life. My dear friend, if you pray that prayer from your heart, I believe you'll do it. Let's stand together with our heads bowed. I'm wondering this morning, how much like Jesus are we in regard to our desire to see people saved, in our burden to seek them more like the Master I would ever be, more of his meekness, more humility, more zeal to labor, to keep going and keep inviting and keep praying and keep witnessing and bring people to the house of God, bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have that burden? You have that zeal? Let's ask God to do that. And sometimes we forget what he did for us. And maybe this morning the Holy Ghost of God reminded you. Let me invite you this morning, number one, Christians. God spoke to your heart. You want to just say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. I invite you to come and just get around this old altar and thank him once again. We'll not be long. If you're here this morning, you're a Christian, and maybe God spoke to your heart. You have a zeal or burden. You have a desire. Will you say, Lord, make me more like the Master in my desire to see people saved. Give me your anointing and power. Help me to seek the lost. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ, boys, girls, men and women, I invite you today to come and receive him as Savior and Lord. Maybe you've already prayed that prayer right where you are, and you come let somebody know. Billy Graham said, I do all my invitation. I invite you to come publicly. I invite you to come publicly. I invite you to come this morning. Don't be ashamed of him. Heavenly Father, I pray right now the Holy Ghost of God to do in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, what only you could do. I pray, God, you'd save to the uttermost all that call upon you. And I pray, our Father, God's people, Lord, that you'll bless them, encourage them, and we'll thank you and praise you.